All right, here we go. We ready?
I guess.
Welcome to M Vibes Podcast.
Home of good music,
good libations,
and good vibes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of M Vibes Podcast. Today, we are at a very special place. Some Modest Mouse. Yes.
Oh, no.
No.
Pixies,
no,
baby.
I'm sorry, Pixies. I'm sorry, yeah. You're right, yeah. Well, hey, where's my mind? There you go. We are at a very special location today. Today happens to be Triple C's 11th anniversary. We are recording at Triple C with my good friend. I've known you for about 10 years now, I think.
Gotta be, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Self, he's had his hand in the brewing industry for a while now. So he's also a big fan of indie rock, so we're going to talk about that today. But first things first, let's talk about what we're drinking, man. I've got Triple C is starting to make seltzers. They have a ginger lime one here. It's called Bubbly, what is it?
Bubbly Boy.
Bubbly Boy. This is delicious. It's real fruit, real everything in it, man. It's not clear. It's kind of hazy. This is delicious. This is perfect, man. This is great.
Yeah, our brewer wanted to make something in-house for those folks who either have a gluten allergy or not necessarily beer drinkers.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do it halfway. He didn't want to make it kind of the default mother-in-law drink. So it's all real fruit. It's all real ingredients. He puts a lot of love, a lot of thought into it. And we're excited about it.
Yeah, it's awesome. What are you drinking, Ryan?
So I have got a flight of our four anniversary release beers today. Daily Special is our rye pale ale. It's a very clean, very crisp 4.5% rye pale ale. Cure for ALS is, of course, our beer supporting ALS research and support. That is a classic hazy IPA. K-Truck is our Japanese rice lager in honor of our mini truck meetups, including our owner Chris's mini truck, which he's quite a fan of. You've probably seen before if you follow us.
I didn't know he had one. So
he does. Okay. He does. And finally, Cinnamon Honey Crunch is a brown ale with cinnamon and honey. If you're thinking breakfast cereal when I said that name, you're about in the right place.
Yeah.
It's a little sweeter, more dessert in a glass than the other beers that are more classic styles.
I really wish I could drink those beers. They all sound absolutely delicious. Ernest, you've got the same flight, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just now sampling all of them, and they're all outstanding.
I think, and I've been saying this for years, I think
that is cinnamon.
Triple C is one of the underrated breweries here in town. You guys' barrel program here, bourbon barrel age, your sours are all excellent beers, man. I think the last bourbon barrel age one I drank, well, actually, it was the rum barrel age. It was the Dude and Vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even the classic styles, like the beer.
That
was.
I'll be back in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Beer, just classic German style Pilsner.
Yep.
Yeah. Very crisp, very clean. Yeah.
First time I had it, I was like, oh. Like I'm back in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It was outstanding.
Very much in that Kronbacher Jaeger pills sort of vein. Yeah.
So if you don't mind, if you want to give us a brief rundown of your history in the Charlotte brewing scene.
Sure. So I've been in the Charlotte beer scene for probably coming up on 15 years now, which is about as long as there's been a Charlotte beer scene, at least as far as breweries. I was at Old Mecklenburg Brewery, right when they opened up. They've been open for a couple of weeks when I came on board there. I always say I was their first delivery driver, their first assistant brewer, their first line tech, their first sales guy. I was eventually their director of sales. I was eventually their director of sales and marketing. One of those places where you just kind of watch them grow and you grew along with it.
Mm-hmm.
I joined Triple C about 15 months ago. Chris, our owner, has been just a very longtime friend. And Eric, kind of to your point, I always felt like this was a brand that was making just spectacular liquid, had a great vibe, just a great attachment to their community. And I said, they should be bigger than they are. And that's kind of where my expertise lay. So I called up Chris when the opportunity was there and said, let's talk.
Awesome.
Partner up.
Yeah. I miss Baby Maker. We were talking about earlier when this brewery first opened, Baby Maker was a shit, man. Everyone wanted that stuff. And it was like an 8%. That's a West Coast style, right?
Well, I should be clear for all this Woods talk. Baby Maker still exists. It's on tap right now.
Oh, is it?
In our tap room. 8.3 old school West Coast double IPA, malty, resiny, boozy.
That was a great beer.
Bitter. Still is.
I'm sure.
So good.
Oh, well. One of these days, maybe. I've heard that they're getting closer to finding some kind of way to get around it. So
here's hoping. Yeah. Hoping.
A few months ago, I accidentally drank a beer, and I paid for it dearly. So
what was the beer? Was it worth it?
No, it was a sour beer from I forget which brewery it was. It was a place up in Vermont, but they had it in the cans section for ciders. And I didn't read the can. I just saw made with apples and spices. Cool. And I drank it and I went to go check it in on Untappd. I'm like,
oh no.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
This is not a cider. This is a sour beer. It tastes just like a botanist and barrel type of cider. So that's when I was drinking it. That's what I thought it was. And I paid for it dearly. Oh well. Anyways, let's get to today's topic, man. Been wanting to do a podcast on this for a while. And there's a lot to get to. There's so many indie labels and so many indie artists. It's impossible to do this all in an hour. But we'll start with some old school indie groups like the Smiths. Of course, the Pixies, which we started out with.
In theory.
Almost right.
In theory.
Yeah, well, someone thought it was somebody else. I didn't do that often. Oh, well.
Hey, yeah, you do.
Modest Mouse is on that playlist, so.
That's a lot of bands over a lot of years.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's
Let's just slide, yeah.
Pavement, Dinosaur Jr., Sonic Youth, Modest Mouse, which we talked about, The Spoon, Interpol, Sleater-Kinney. I mean, what is the definition of an indie artist? It's a group or band that's not signed to a major label. They're on an independent label. So that's the musical definition of an indie band or an indie artist.
Well, it's funny you say that because it's like beer, right?
Right.
It used to be very easy to identify that is a craft beer, that is an independent beer, that is a local beer. And I have all these versions of, well, actually that beer is owned by a conglomerate based in, Dallas, Texas, and not one drop is made in this town, but they do a tap room. And so now that's
it. For a while there, it was a really big deal when like independent breweries sold out. Like I'll never forget when Wicked Weed did. Like everyone was like, son of a bitch.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Not Wicked Weed.
I used to joke. My phone caught fire that day.
Yeah.
and I was at an event actually pouring beer and all of a sudden, just ding, 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 ding. I was like, well, who died? Yeah, right? And it turned out craft beer's innocence died that day, at least in North Carolina.
I mean, what just happened to Catawba Brewing here in town? They got bought out and they just closed all their spots here in town.
Catawba's a funny story. You know, Catawba sold some time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And the word on the street, the writing on the wall was that tap room was DOA for quite a while.
Yeah.
That it was not cash flow positive. That
the one here in town or the one up in?
One in 10.
Morgan. Okay.
And so it was a shock to some people. It was not a shock if you kind of knew folks who had worked around that company or been a part of that sale. And just look, when you sell to an investment firm, very few investment firms are in the business of running tap rooms.
Yeah.
Right. Restaurants, you know, bars. It's about, we got White Zombie. We'll scale that across 4 or 5 states. That's the winning brand. Everything else is secondary, particularly, you know, dealing with the overhead and staffing and whatnot of a bar and restaurant.
Yeah, well, I never liked that beer. I'm sorry.
It's not much to it. No.
Hey, Ernest, our special guests are back.
Well, we are in a brewery.
The fruit flies. Yeah.
Yeah. And being a brewery without having fruit flies.
When we recorded that President Culture, we were getting dive bombed by fruit flies the whole time.
I mean, it's tough, and the more ingredients you use and things you use that are sugary,
yep,
like, yep,
they love them.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
And every bar and restaurant knows once you see a fruit fly, it's far too late.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like roaches. If you see one, there's more than one. There's a thousand of them somewhere else.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So who were some of your favorite in the groups?
So, you know, my formative years were in the early to late 90s as far as music goes. I was the guy when my friends were listening to Bush and, you know, STP and those guys. I was listening to Pavement and Jesus Lizard and Guided by Voices and Slint and just a lot of that touch and go Matador stuff. Even, you know, a Tango back then who still puts out records that are great and I still listen to. Although I guess Guided by Voices does as well, right? They're on record 5,000 now and
going, right? That was funny. I was looking at them today. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, it never ends. And I'm like, and Robert Pollard's still putting out records too. So I was very big into that 90s indie scene, reading Rolling Stone, Spin, Alternative Press.
That's what I,
just slowly finding these bands and being like, oh, that's great that there's a new Sponge album. But Pavement just dropped Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. Yeah. And according to Rolling Stone, it's generational. Let's go try that.
Right? Yeah, I used to do Spin, Alternative Press, Rolling Stone, and I would always go to that back page that would show like all the indie, the top 10 indie artists. And back when I was doing that, I had LimeWire, so I just go on LimeWire.
Of course.
Find this shit. Half of it was viruses, but for the ones that I've got about 20 burnable discs at the house that I just put all my LimeWire shit on. And I just put them all on a disc and play them, man, and that's how I kind of got
into that. Remember, too, the old days? Remember how fast this happened where there was a brief period in the early 90s?
Yeah.
Where it was almost like going back to the 60s and 70s, where it's like, holy shit. Can I say that?
Yeah.
It was like, what's...
Fucking right, you can say that.
What's good is also what's popular.
Yeah.
Right? Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden are not just good, they're popular.
Right.
And you know, so fast, it went from, actually, what sounds like those guys are shit now. It's Bush and it's Creed and it's, you know, and
Bush. I'm sorry, Bush. In my opinion, was always a terrible band.
They had moments, but they weren't part of the actual zeitgeist, right? It wasn't part of the actual scene, and so all of a sudden it went from, holy cow, what's good is popular. Those two things are not mutually exclusive anymore. To what's popular is sounds like a C-minus version of. It's good.
Well,
and so you had to kind of go somewhere else.
Right. Nirvana's first album, Bleach, was on Sub Pop. And they re-released that after, you know, their huge popularity. And that was a killer album, man.
That album also financed probably 100 bands on Sub Pop.
Right.
Who are awesome. It allowed Sub Pop to sort of exist and take chances that other labels were unwilling to take.
You got the Shins were on Sub Pop, Mudhoney, the Postal Service. I mean, there's a very long list of Sub Pop groups that started out on that label. Now, since then, they've gone on to, like, Atlantic Records and, you know, other artists. But I really dug that label. And there's a lot of punk indie labels, too. One of my favorites is on the back of my shirt today. Hellcat Records, which was a independent spinoff from Epitaph.
Think about not just pre-consolidation of labels, but pre-internet.
Right.
You know, you'd buy a Sub Pop record, you'd buy a Merge Records record, you know, which of course is based here in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
You buy like a Superchunk album or something, right? Or an Archers of Loaf album, something out of Raleigh, and in the liner notes was that little fold out booklet, right?
Yeah.
And I always remember, you know, buying like Touch and Go Records or even Sub Pop Records, having the little fold out thing and just reading about bands and then, you know, having to get like my dad to cut a check, right? Like, hey, I need you to give me a check for $38 so I can mail this to this record label so I can get Killdozer Records and Butthole Surfers Records and and Meat Man Records and some of that stuff, right?
Or just like, and it was a long way and there was no way to track it. You're like, I wonder how long it'll take for this shit to get
but
here.
But it was also so cool because you'd order shit and you'd send it. They were like, oh, you bought a Magnetic Fields record and a Killdozer record. We're going to throw in some posters and like a handwritten note from the singer. Like, hey man, thanks for buying our record. This is fucking
that's
cool.
If you like this,
you should also check out our label mates. These guys, like the discovery of that box arriving and being like, this isn't just two CDs. Right. This is the next part of my experience and my growth as a music fan.
Right.
I know I'm old man self here, but it's all been lost to Spotify's and whatnot. I still get that though.
I order a lot from Pirates Press, which is the other. So Hellcat is large. Tim Armstrong's label from Rancid.
Yep.
Pirates Press is Large's label from Rancid. Mm-hmm. And I've ordered stuff from Pirates Press and they send you a bunch of other free vinyl and stickers and they send you a catalog along with it. I'm like, well, I haven't seen someone do this in forever, man. This is awesome.
My freshman year in college, my whole dorm wall is covered in posters of Superchunk and Seam and so many Big Black and all these bands are just like, what the hell is that? Everyone around me was just like, oh, that's a band that existed from 87 to 90 and was incredible and put out 5 records and is long gone, but I was able to hear it just by because I ordered a similar album from the label. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, here's a CD single here at it and 3 stickers and a fold-out poster.
Do you still own all that stuff?
Shit, no. I always joke that when my daughter turns 11 in a week, before she was born, I realized that all my CDs were in her room, and it was about 1,200 or so, and I didn't want to just go, unceremoniously dump them at Manifest Records.
Yeah.
So I put an ad on Craigslist, and I just said, hey, all these albums, I've taken care of them.
I saw you post.
Phonetically, And I had guys come out, and I said, here's the deal. All the Beatles remasters, all the Pink Floyd remasters, but also all these old indie rock records, things that are out of print, all the Radiohead double disc remasters, all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, fuck it, $5 a title. Just come get them. And cash, come get as many or as few as you want. And I still remember these two guys showed up. One of them was going through them and like picked out like 15 records, right? Or 15 albums. And his buddy was like, you need this, you need this, you need this. And he's giving him like, My Bloody Valentine, Loveless, and Neutral Milk Hotel, and the Airplane Over the Sea. And you have to have this. And I'm watching them going, God damn, these are from like my childhood. And it's like, just $5 a pop. And $5 was good news.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
if I'd gone to, any store in town, it would have been $2 a pop.
Yeah.
Right?
Store credit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just telling my wife, because we have a big collection of old Disney DVDs. I'm like, let's just go get store credit for this shit somewhere. Just go take it somewhere. I'm like, I'll just buy vinyl with it. I've been really bad. So I'm now doing I'm now an old vinyl DJ too. So I spend some money on vinyl now.
Quote that I always use is, if I'm going to get into vinyl, I might as well get into Black Tar Heroin because it'll be as expensive for me.
Well,
like I will collect everything, every reissue, every limited.
I've
blue
got,
vinyl,
yeah.
Only 500 of these were sold on their website. I will buy them all.
Yeah, no, I have to pace myself. Well, that, and I have a wife who's like, hey, what'd you buy on Amazon this week? socks. I bought socks.
Yes. And then, in a big square box.
Yeah. And then it comes, and my daughter would be like, Dad, that's not socks. What is that? I'm like, oh, it's socks. So I'm going to go upstairs and open it up, though.
Yeah.
They're like, no, open it up right here. We want to see what your socks are. I'm like, all right, it's a record. Yeah. It's a record, sorry.
I can't own 50 records. I have to own 1,000 records.
So
I own 0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, I think Discogs said I have like $26,000 worth of vinyl. So I just keep buying more and more.
Understood.
Shit. Yeah.
This is where I would be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay married.
Yeah, I've been with my wife for 23 years now, so I don't know. I know you recently went and saw Vampire Weekend, right?
I saw them, gosh, you know, in the world of COVID, everything is recent, right? I was always I saw them a few months ago. It was 18 months ago, right? They were here not long ago on the Father of the Bride tour. And that's a band that I love. That's a band that, it's so funny, when they started, this must have been early 2010s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to a buddy of mine who's got really good taste in music and a really good bullshit detector on, is this a good band or is this kind of a shtick, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, I look at these dudes in their fucking boat shoes and Patagonia shirts and coming from, you know, Princeton and whatnot. I'm like, there's no chance this shit's any good, right?
Yeah.
But from record one, it was like Paul Simon had come back to do Graceland again, you know, and they've grown and evolved. So that's a band that like, I look at them and go, we would never hang out, but I love their music.
Yeah. It's funny. I've listened to interviews with the guy who's the lead singer, and he's got a huge influence from the Specials.
Oh yeah. Oh, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, my dad really got me into the Specials, and he goes, and that's kind of what our sound is, kind of. I mean, it's not quite ska, but you can hear it, though.
It's like, dude, your taste is so rad. Why do you look like that?
Yeah. The Specials are one of my top 10 bands of all time. So,
I mean, if you have a true Specials influence, it also means you have some Jamaican influence. You have some, there's so much value in that. Are you a Jeff Rosenstock guy?
No.
All right. That's another show then. I won't go down a tangent, but one of the best punk artists going right now is Jeff Rosenstock, who releases all his shit on Bandcamp. Nothing is ever more than $5 a record. He's like modern day Fugazi. Keeps the record, the concert tickets cheap. Has an unbelievable just vitality to his music. Okay. Released an album a couple years ago called No Dream that is so badass. It's the modern political punk. And then a year later released a version of it called Ska Dream, which has made a pick it up version of that record.
Oh, you know what?
And this is not ironically enjoyed. This is, he loves this shit.
I'm going to have to check that out.
I'm going to send you some stuff when we finish up here. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Jeff Rosenstock is the most like vital, important indie artist going right now.
And he's only on Bandcamp. He's not on Spotify or any of that shit.
He's on Spotify, but he always releases it late. Like, it's going to Bandcamp first, and I'll see you in a week. His new album, Hell Mode, came out this year, and it's badass. Turn on a song if you want called Heads. It's the second song on the new record, and just let people enjoy. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Ready?
There you go.
Let's go. Strap in. I'm just an avatar of someone I've invented.
A messenger of certainties I'm trying to decode. I like it already.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wait for the chorus.
Damn.
Here comes the politics.
I like this.
Same record. Yeah. That's some of the most melodic shit you'll ever hear. Some of the most like emo and pathetic shit you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
But then also this too.
Yeah.
Those are his albums.
I think
the ethos, lives the music, and has a whole ska version of his second to last record that's badass.
I thought I saw him on the bill for something recently at one of those festivals.
He opened up for Joyce Manor a couple years ago here.
Did he?
He's one of those artists. He's an artist.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see much bigger artists throw him on the bill.
You know,
yeah.
I think he was at Riot Fest last year. I think he was. I could be wrong, which
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I missed Riot Fest this year, and from what I was seeing and reading, it was a pretty good Riot Fest. Javier and I went 2 years ago. First of all, sorry, Javier, if you're listening, I'm never going to another festival with Javier ever again.
Do you want to tell the story? Or have you already?
I have. He's...
Would he rather you didn't?
Probably not.
It don't matter.
Fair enough.
But I almost saw him die once because we went after day one. Actually, here's a good story. We went in the pit for circle jerks. He lost his glasses immediately. I'm like, dude, take off your glasses. Don't go in the pit with your glasses on. Mm-hmm. He went in the pit with the glasses on like that. They were gone. So from that point on, he couldn't see shit all night long. So he was holding on to the back of my shirt in the mosh pit so we could see where he was going. Afterwards, after that pit, we go, and it started raining. We go, and we're laying down on the ground on wet grass, dying, because we just spent an hour and a half in a mosh pit with all these other kids for circle jerks. Afterwards, after that night was over, we're out in the street waiting on our Uber, and Javier's sitting on the curb in front of someone's house waiting on our Uber, and the fucking owner of that house came barreling up and almost hit Javier. He's like, hey, man, get the fuck out of my house here, man. What are you guys doing? We're waiting on our Uber, man. The dude almost fucking ran him over because Javier was basically laying in the fucking street. He was almost dead that night from moshing for circle jerks. I was like, all right, man, maybe we shouldn't mosh anymore this weekend. However, I did. They called me Juggernaut that weekend because I was in every fucking pit I could possibly get in. It was fun.
Well, I'll see you there, right?
I mean,
I'm not a festival guy. I'm a small show guy.
But
I get it. But if you gotta be there, get the fuck up there, right?
Well, I gotta be in it, man. I gotta be part of that show, man. I went and saw
this thing being 38 rows deep at a festival.
It sucks.
No, thanks.
I hate the fucking lawn.
Yeah.
I can't stand sitting on the lawn at a show. I went and saw DRI at the Milestone last Friday, and I could not mosh. I was in the pit all night long. Yeah. However, I woke up the next morning, I swear to God, I had bruised ribs. There was a dude in there that was bigger than me. I think he was Samoan, and him and I just started going at it.
Yeah.
He was trying to knock me down, and I was trying to knock his ass
down. What's your version of mosh, though? We're not really swinging elbows, right? We're not trying to fuck somebody up, right?
I'm that old school dude. I like to go in a circle and skank.
Okay.
But that doesn't happen anymore. People just go in there and start throwing fists. And
that's what I'm asking. Yeah. There's a mosh pit where you become a symbiotic mass.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mosh pit where there's the asshole trying to start a fight.
Yeah. I always find that guy who's being an asshole, and I try and take him out.
That guy tends to find us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get fucked with too much in mosh pits, but anyways.
Yeah, note to self, get bigger. I got to work on that.
It was funny. I had people that night that said, we didn't get in the pit because you were in the pit. I was like, why? I'm not going to hurt anyone.
I give you a break. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not in there to hurt anybody. But back to the subject here. We briefly talked about Merge Records. Founded. You know what? It's funny. Like all these labels were founded in like 1989, all in the same year.
Yeah.
A lot of these indie labels came out in the same year, 1989. And
every one of them would have fucking closed not for Nirvana, right?
Right. Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Merge.
Because Merge was putting out like Helium Records and things, right. Like these awesome indie rock stuff. They never would have had a chance otherwise, right?
Matador.
Matador was putting out Pizzicato 5 records and like lounge stuff. Okay, what's the cocktail jazz band? Oh, shit. I'm going to get myself later. I'm going to think about it in an hour. But
it's all right.
Like Matador wasn't just putting out white guys staring at their shoes records. You know, they were putting out different stuff, too.
Right.
I mean, shit, that's fair, right? I mean, they put a lot of stuff out.
And they one of my favorite bands of all time is on that record label, Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Dude, I'm a huge fan of Queens of the Stone Age.
When people talk about indie rock, their idea is, you know, middle-aged white guys liking the same shit as they always liked, when really actually it's much more about a label taking chances, right?
Right.
Like, let's put out something that makes no sense for us, but let's put that out, right? Yeah. Like a label putting out a Queens of the Stone Age record, and you know, Pizzicato Fire, these Japanese girls singing, you know, lounge acts, basically, right?
It's
same record.
But Queens of Stone Age is still on that same label. They have not gone big. They haven't signed.
No, Songs to the Desk, not a record. That's an Elektra record.
Was it?
I think it's a big label record.
I jump every fucking time that thing comes out.
No, Songs for the Deaf is not a Matador record, because you'd know. Because it would be like Bleach for Sub Pop, right? It would be like the, okay, now Matador is funded for the next decade.
Their newest album was back on that.
Well, because they went backwards for a little while, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously Josh has his own issues, right? And
oh my God, yeah.
They were having trouble in that way, but I think with like Songs for the Deaf, it seemed like Queens is going to break.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't break, but they got a lot bigger than they.
But that fucking record. Oh my God. From fucking front to back. That album, I can put that on and listen to it all the time.
Closest thing we have to Sabbath, basically. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I should have put songs off that album on this playlist, but the song that was playing is.
That and Black Mountains in the Future.
Yeah.
Is the closest thing we had to Sabbath in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Sabbath. Don't get me started on Sabbath, man. My favorite metal band of all time.
Fucking Sabbath, man.
Yeah, fucking Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Great, great band. Ozzy's done tour now, so I saw him recently, and he's in bad shape. So.
Did you ever meet him?
I never met Ozzy.
Nicest guy you ever meet in your life.
Really?
Yeah.
Ozzy
so I was a music writer 25 years ago.
Okay.
And I backstage at Ozfest, and I got to talk to him for a while, and if you didn't know who he was, you would think he was the guy who like mopped up the booze on the stage.
Really?
So just chill, humble. Just, how you doing? So what are you thinking about these days? Like zero, look at me, who I am, kiss my ass.
That's awesome.
I got caught him on a good day, but zero of that.
Still alive though, man, after all the shit he did. So he's like,
he walks the earth. Keith Richards walks the earth.
That was my next person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith is still kicking. Yeah. But yeah. And then you hear about other people who lived healthy lives that get cancer and die. So maybe you can drink.
Do drugs, kids. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Nothing making any sense.
You get the years you get. So do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We talked about merch records. We talked about Matador. We talked about Sub Pop, Gang of Four, Pavement, another group that I wanted to talk about that's on, it's a punk band on Merge Records, is a band called Fucked Up. They're a pretty good punk band. I've seen them. I actually saw them once. They opened for Public Enemy.
So this is like the antithesis of punk, right?
Okay.
I consider Fucked Up a prog band.
Really?
Those are big 5-minute, 6-minute songs, progression changes, male, female vocals, bridges. Like, there are Fucked Up records that are punk records.
Yeah.
But like, David Comes to Life is a prog record. Like, Queen of Hearts.
Yeah.
The Other Shoe.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a punk song. That song is like, you can call it metal if you want to. But this song is all build. Finally, that it kicks in, right?
Yeah.
But that song never goes breakbeat. Never goes full speed, right?
Right.
It just grinds and the album. I used to say like rap is the new prog. Albums are 70 minutes long. They're probably too long. They tell a story. There's like interludes and themes and talking moments, right?
Yeah.
Like. Fucked Up opening for Public Enemy makes more sense to me than Fucked Up opening up for like Rancid.
Yeah. I've never seen him open for any punk acts though. So it's always been some other odd band that they opened
for. They're insane live. Yes. They're absolutely insane live.
Great. I walked in.
Which, by the way, it's also how you know not a punk band. Because most punk bands are just like fucking get up here in 3 chords and a cloud of dust and we'll just knock it out. The fact that the showmanship is there.
Yeah.
Did you ever see, like Savvy Five live?
Yeah.
Same band, basically, right?
Yeah.
Same band. Where it's like, the show is on. This is not a, you know, you mentioned Interpol earlier, right? One of the worst live bands I've ever seen. Like
who? I'm sorry?
Interpol. You mentioned them earlier. right? They got up and they wanted to be Joy Division so bad. They got up.
Didn't you just see it, Interpol, Ernest?
Yes.
Yeah, he texts me. He goes, "This is fucking awful."
I say, maybe. So it's funny. I was gonna say maybe they've gotten better. I saw them on the Antics tour, their second record or something, 9:30 Club in DC.
Yeah.
And they got up there and they were wearing their sharp dressed black suits, and Carlos D had his little holster on, and everyone looked the part, and they were trying so hard to be Joy Division. And they got up and just said, "Good evening," and they played their 12 songs. They said, "Good night, no encore," and off they went. And it was like, well, I could have stayed at fucking home and not paid $9 for a Lagunitas and just listened to the record and done this, right? Yep, like that was a band that was so caught up in their own mythology.
Yeah.
That God forbid they just, do a Dark Star cover or something and play for 20 minutes, right? Yeah. They got up there and the song is 3 minutes and 16 seconds on the record. It was 3 minutes and 14 seconds live.
Wow.
Where it's fucked up, though, is like,
that's about right.
All right, everybody. We're about to do a friggin' American Pie cover. It's going to be 38 minutes. And if you don't like it, fuck yourself.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, punk has changed a lot too, man. It's not just that same. Punk and metal, I think, have changed so much. And there's a lot of stuff that's labeled punk that's not punk. And there's a lot of stuff that's labeled not punk and is punk to me. So there's Johnny Cash, I consider punk. I mean, he's
so punk is an ethos. It's not a sound.
Correct.
So is Run the Jewels punk? I think it is.
Yeah.
As far as the most like anti-establishment shit going these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know any punk bands beating that.
No. And no one else in the fucking game is doing anything like Run the Jewels is.
No.
Nobody.
No. Then you start getting into like, is Lana Del Rey punk?
Yeah.
is Taylor Swift re-recording her own fucking records punk? Taking them off the label, off the grid?
That is a punk rock attitude.
Right?
Yes. It's a indie DIY type of deal.
I want a Taylor Swift's most punk thing going t-shirt, so I get in fights every show I go to.
You know, it's funny. We're really good friends with the band, the Van Huskins. And they have a song called I'm a Nice Girl, God Damn It. And Eric Huskins had made some kind of comment on Facebook bitching about Taylor Swift. And I was like, hey, she's a nice girl, God Damn It. And he goes, all right, you fucking got me there, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if she is or not, but I can't turn down a pop song and someone writes their own shit. I don't care.
I don't knock her at all. I
don't begrudge her a bit.
I'm pissed about her concert ticket prices.
That's because you have daughters.
Yes.
Same, by the way.
My youngest, every Friday, or actually every day.
Couldn't Taylor be Fugazi school for like a year?
Right.
Give me $12.
Yeah.
Come to Black Hat.
She can fill an entire football stadium and charge $500 a fucking ticket, and that bitch will be sold out. I'm like, God damn, Taylor, come on. I can't afford, like, fucking, we've talked about this the past few episodes. One of my favorite bands of all time, Aerosmith, is going to be in town, but I can't afford a damn ticket to the concert, dude.
Well, it's not the $500 ticket. It's the $4,000 resale ticket.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Yeah, it's $200 just to be behind the stage.
How you undo that, how you fix that, I don't know.
I don't know either, yeah.
But if you told me for a grand, I can take my daughter to Taylor Swift, we could get on to Atlanta, do it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it for $5,000.
No.
Right?
Yeah, my youngest is begging. She's like, Dad, please check her tour schedule. When's she going to be around here? I'm like, she's in like Europe right now on tour, sweetie. I mean, I don't know if she'll be back over here anytime soon, but she really wants to. Netflix is going to do a live concert video of her soon.
Oh, yeah?
So
we'll be watching.
Yeah, I was telling my daughter, I'm like, hey, Netflix is going to do a live concert with Taylor Swift. And actually today, last night, she's on my phone. She goes, Dad, here it is right here. Oh, man, it comes out like next week. I'm like, yeah, I told you. So that'll be cool. But she comes home every day and puts on Taylor Swift videos and dances around the house with her mirror.
Not since Michael Jackson, right?
Right, yeah.
And with the monoculture being gone, gotta respect her, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That, and I'm sorry, she is beautiful. Taylor Swift.
Andrew WK quote there.
Yeah.
She is beautiful.
Andrew WK is a great show as well, man.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him at one of those festivals. And it's funny because it was one of those deals where I had friends with me who had never heard of him. And there was a lot of bands on that bill they never heard of. They're like, we just want to go see Breaking Benjamin. I'm like, no, hold on. I'll go watch Breaking Benjamin with you guys if you come see a few acts with me of bands you never heard of. Yeah. And I drug him over to go see Andrew WK.
I can't imagine a better privilege than dragging someone.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he came out in 01 or whatever.
Yeah.
Sitting at work and my...
We will party hard.
My girlfriend at the time saying, it's like a combination of Slayer, they might be Giants. I was like, what? And the more I listened to it, I was like, okay, that's fair.
I mean...
like, he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
But he's very much... in on the joke.
He is. It's like the Wesley. It's like a better version of Wesley Willis.
How dare you?
He is. No. He uses that same beat in like every song.
Yeah, it's shtick.
Yeah,
but it's really good shtick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not knocking Andrew or Wesley Willis.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. I love Wesley, man.
Oh yeah.
I found out he was another artist that was on an indie label. I'll turn to the Tentacles.
Is he on him in Biafra?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's who.
That makes sense.
That's who found him. So yeah.
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 That man tore my dead ass up.
I loved him, dude. I found that shit. You know that we're talking about just finding stuff randomly, and I found his CD in like a used bin, and I was like, and I looked at the back of it. I'm like, Alternative Tentacles. I'm like, it's only $2. Yeah, fuck it. I bought it and I was like, all right, this is the most awesome, terrible thing I've ever heard.
You're talking about an era that is dead, buying a record because of the label.
Right.
Just like, if they signed off on it,
yeah.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea, and there was no Spotify. There's nothing to go see what it sounds like before you buy it. And I bought it. I'm like, and then I bought two more after that. So yeah. Okay. Snoop Doggy Dog, Snoop Doggy Dog.
I love that we've gotten full Wesley Willis.
Yeah.
We should spend like the next 30 minutes on that.
We could.
Yes.
we could probably do a whole episode of him.
Right. Enough beer and real music talk. We're getting into Wesley Willis now. Yeah. Yes.
Not too long ago, I found a documentary on Amazon Prime about him.
Shit.
Yeah, it's on there, dude. It's all fucking set. Awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. And he was, I love him to death. It's funny because there's one scene where a dude walked in. He goes, hey, Wesley, you're looking skinny. And that entire day, he walked around to everybody. Hey, man, I'm skinny now. Hey, I'm skinny. Hey, guys, look it. I'm skinny now.
Yeah. Like, there's a very fine line between, like, was he exploited? Or was he celebrated, right?
It's it's kind of like you know when Howard Stern has the handicapped guys on a show. It's like, all right, are you making fun of these guys? Or are they
in on the joke or are they the joke?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know. Yeah. I can see the look on Ernest's face as he's listening to it.
What the fuck? This show's never going live, is it?
No. Oh, man. Is there anything? Well, we got this going on now, but is there anything else going on soon at Triple C?
And big thing for us is just, you know, fall's coming. It's fall and winter beers. Dark beer season, man. Stuff started to come out of barrels. You know, White Blaze, our winter seasonal, having that in bourbon barrels.
That was one of my favorites, dude.
Stout starting to drop. It's just that it's beer drinking weather.
Yeah.
Let's get it down to the 60s. Let's get football on. Let's get some flannels and hoodies and let's drink some beer.
Man, the coconut variant of
White Blaze.
White Blaze.
So we have always, that beer, divisive beer in our world. One of those ones that we made. It's so sweet. Man, people who love it,
love it.
Totally drink.
Yeah. We sat up here one night after work and, hey, let's have a beer. Let's have another beer. And my wife called me, hey, are you coming home? I'm like, yeah, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm sitting at the bar up there. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in like 5 minutes. another beer. Now, I do need to apologize to you about a few things. Every time, and I used to have bottle shares at the house, and Ryan knows where I'm going with this. Every time Ryan self would come to my house to have a bottle share. Good night, Irene. I was on the couch, passed out every time you came.
No harm. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Bottle share is always in that way for someone.
All right.
So I appreciate you owning it so I didn't have to.
I woke up. I'll never forget the night we cracked open my Hoonipoo. I have no memory of opening up that bottle. I woke up the next morning. I'm like, who the fuck opened my Hoonipoo? They're like, dude, you did. I went into the trash can. I pulled out that bottle and drank what was in the bottom of it. Because I didn't have any memory of drinking
that. Well, the funny part of that is now you get Hoonipoos, you just go to, fucking 7-Eleven in Tampa, right? You can get that stuff anywhere now. The stuff that we used to think like, oh my God, never will I get a chance to share this again. My buddy, we had an event last week for our for Make-A-Wish, our charity. Mm-hmm. My buddy brought down a sixtel of Sip of Sunshine from Lawson's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A fucking keg. I remember trading for like a single can of this, and now we're sitting around drinking glasses of it. Like it's nothing. Built a growler for our lunch. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Prior to me leaving, I saw Troy at the house. He goes, hey, man. He goes, don't fall asleep on Ryan's self. I said, what? He goes, every time Ryan came over, you went to bed. I said, I'm not.
I figured it was me.
And I was like, I was like, no, I'm not going to sleep this time. So I think that's about it for this week. Ernest, you got anything going on soon?
Let's see. I'm going to go see Shinedown on Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Circle Jerks are in town Monday night with TSOL and Negative Approach. I wish it wasn't on a Monday night, but I'm really going to try to do
it. I do love
it
that the Nostalgia Tour has come to this level, though. I'm waiting for Ian McKay to be in Charlotte. I'm waiting.
It might happen.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though.
Yeah. Sponsored by Verizon. Hey, good times, fellas.
If that ever happens, the art of selling out will be...
It's all dead.
Yeah, it's dead. Yeah, fuck it. That'll be like, all right, fuck it all. Nothing makes fucking sense anymore. It's over. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. I think that's it for the week. Thanks for being on the show, Ryan. Thanks for the beers. Congratulations to Triple C on 11 years. If you ever have a chance, if you're ever in town, rolling by here. They're not too far from the airport if you have a long layover in town. I know there's people that listen to our podcast from other countries and other states and all that stuff too. So
come on by.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
Or if you want to trade some beers, let me know. I still trade stuff. For gluten-free stuff. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do this.
Yeah. All right, guys. Adios.
Cheers.
We have a lot of interesting episodes coming up about music's most interesting topics, but we want to hear from you and what episodes you'd like to hear. If you have an idea for anything we should talk about, email us at mbuyspodcast@gmail.com. This episode was produced by BWM Productions. If you like our podcast, please help us by rating and reviewing us on your favorite listening platform. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at mbuyspodcast. Come on and join in the conversation.